The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yosef Greenwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. For halachic wills and estates, or other inyana Yerusha, please call the center at 1-888-485-VAAD, or visit thehalachacenter.org.
Psachim daf pei zayin. So the next three daft is the Gemara brings in a concept which is not really unique to Maseches Psachim, but it's a Shas concept. The Gemara brings in the next three daft. It would be worthwhile just to touch on some of the basics. This is the musik of Yesh Brera and Ein Brera. The Mishnah daf pei zayin talks about a husband shechting for a Karban Pesach, and it's not clear whose Karban Pesach should be included in. At the time of Shechita, it wasn't clear which Karban Pesach she wanted to be included in, her father's or her husband's. And the Gemara says that if she could make the decision later on, that tells us that Yesh Breru. The Gemara is doicha that. The Gemara says in Daf Peches, the same type of concept where... in the Mishnah Daf Peches, the Gemara says... L'gabi ho'im l'bonav harin yishaychis ha-Pesach again. Person is shechting one of his sons, whoever's going to be more zoriz and get up to Yerushalayim the quickest. Over there also, it's not clear b'shas ma'isa, who's going to be there, who's not. Is he included in the Karban Pesach? Is he not? The Gemara says Yeshbrer, the Gemara is Doicha. What is this music of Yeshbrer? It seems the Gemara is trying to get away from it. And that's because, in truth, l'gabe in yonim d'oraisa, we paskin ein brer. L'gabe dinim d'rabbonon, we paskin Yeshbrer, l'gabe dinim d'oraisa, we paskin ein brer. What's the concept? Something where there's a chalois, there's a process that has to be undergone to create a halachic reality, either a chalois of a Karban Pesach, a shlichus, a minu shlichus, or in the classic context where a person was mafresh trumas and maisrus, the classic case that's most often brought in Shas, and it wasn't clear which bottle of wine or which pile of grapes he was going to designate as the Trumas of Maisris, but he was mafish the Trumas of Maisris, kilo, what we call in English the player to be named later, the pile of grapes that will be chosen tomorrow, the bottle of wine to be chosen tomorrow. Can he do that? Does that create the halachic reality that being mafish Trumas of Maisris does? Would that be matir him to drink from the wine? What's the case with Nagei? Well, what's the whole need for such a mechanism, because it's an Isidur Abundance to take up Shuvah and on Shabbos. Imagine a person gets to Shabbos and everything in his house, he forgot to take up Shuvah and Maizah, and there's an Isidur Abundance to him, look how he has no food. What can he do? What he could do is, prepare, he could say that he is taking off Shuvah and Maizah, again, the bottle of wine and the piece of bread and the cluster of grapes that will be designated tomorrow night after Shabbos by Oiz Shabbos as Trumas of Maisers. That'll be the Trumas of Maisers retroactively till before Shabbos. Well, maybe not, since it's not clear B'Shas Maiser and Brera, and we say there is no Trumas of Maisers. What would be the case today, B'Zman Hazeh? The case today, B'Zman Hazeh, would be very simple. What happens if it was Erev Pesach? Erev Pesach Shchalias B'Shabbos. Shabbos coming up Yom Tov, one is not allowed to be mafish Trumas of Maisers or Chalo. One remembers that the matzah, the dough that was baked in the matzah bakery, the Negev B'Zman Hazeh, and even in Chutz La'aretz, the dough that was baked for the matzahs, no Chalo was taken off. The matzahs, one cannot eat. It's all pebble. One cannot eat the matzahs that didn't have Trumas, that didn't have Chalo taken off. Can one be mafish or can one not? We'll leave that child on a practical level. But, this may be an eight, so we'll discuss. But that's the question of Yesh Breru and Ein Breru. According to the Mandam, Yesh Breru, one can take off, one can designate that the leftover matzah that will be Hufrash in 2 days after Motzi Yom Tov, after Motzi Yom Tov Sheni, that'll be the Challah, and that'll retroactively deem that the whole Kri, the whole pile of matzahs, had the Challah taken off from them. According to the Mandam, Ein Breru, not. The question is exactly, what does the Mandam who holds Ein Brera hold? Does he hold that there was no Truma taken off? There was no Challah taken off? Or does he hold that it was taken off, but since it cannot be designated which one, he can say it was Chal in the decree in the Tevel, there is a Chalois Shem Truma, but since it's not clear which one it is today, something is missing in the Hafrosh, and the Hafrosh will not allow him to eat. It seems to be a Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos and Gittin Dafayim Gimel. Meaning to say, what's the difference? If we hold a Brera, but the person did take off Trumas HaMaaseh, he designated Trumas HaMaaseh, do we say that that process of taking off the Trumas HaMaaseh, he said that the grapes that will be taken off tomorrow night should be after Shabbos, should be the Truma on this whole barrel of grapes, on this whole basket of fruit. Will that, is that invalid? Is that null and void and then nothing happened? Or we say, no, he's messed up. Because he took off, but it's not clear. You can't designate something that's not clear. So what happened was he was mafish Trumas HaMaaseh, but it's mixed in someplace and now he's stuck. Tomorrow night there's nothing he can do. The only thing he'd be able to do is be shoyel, to be matir neder and start again tomorrow night from scratch. Seems to be somewhat of a convoluted question. The Nesivos in Simon Samach Aleph, Sukkot and Gimel, discusses this issue of Brera, and he says that Yesh Brera and Ein Brera is only by something which is not going to happen automatically. Meaning to say, in the case that we said of Trumas HaMaaseh, where one is only going to actually make that Hafrosha tomorrow night, over there there's a shadow of Yesh Brera and Ein Brera, Masha Enkein, by something which will happen automatically, a process which is in the process of happening by itself. It's just that now we don't know what's supposed to happen. Over there, we will not have a problem with Yesh Brera and Ein Brera. And he brings examples of this concept. Bring one Pashta example. Could be in the Negei Halacha L'Maaseh today. Somebody passed away, unfortunately. His estate went over, let's say he has four sons. The four sons share the estate. Right now, the Nechosim are mixed up. Nobody knows what, after they make a Chalukas on Nechosim, what part of the estate. Obviously, it's owned by all four jointly. But what possessions, what real estate, what movables, metaltlin, mekarkoi, in the Nechosim will be given to Reuven, to Shimon, to Levi, to Yehuda, is not clear now. What happens if Reuven makes a donation of tzedakah from the property, from the estate? Is that bequest chal? Can Reuven give money that doesn't clearly belong to him? Which money is he giving? Of course, he can obligate himself when he gets the money to give some of it, that he can make a personal obligation. But let's say he was actually magdish some of the money. It could be a pashta nafkamina. If Reuven only made a neder, Reuven only made a bequest that he's going to give from the estate that he has money to tzedakah, then if Reuven would suddenly die, his father died, now he suddenly died, his children would not be mechuyev to honor that request. Mashenkin, if it was already Chal and Reuven's Nechosin, over there, the halacha is that the request is Chal, the bequest is Chal, and Chal in the Nechosin itself. Which Nechosin? Do we know what belongs to Reuven? If we say that automatically there will be a Chalukas Nechosin, so then we could hear that it's not exactly like Trumas HaMaaseh, and the Nechosin will already be considered that retroactively, whatever is given to Reuven will belong to Reuven, whatever is given to Shimon will belong to Shimon, and so on and so forth. There are other examples that are given. We'll just bring up a few more points, which are also practical examples, not Trumas HaMaaseh and Korban Pesach. There's a Rishonim in the Shittim Gubetz above Metzidav Chaval, the beginning of Perikei Lemetzis deals with the Sugya of Yush Lamedas, a person loses something. Something is lost, is a process of Yush by where that thing leaves his property. Once it leaves his property, somebody else will be koina. It's a question whether Yush Lamedas have a Yush before he knows that he actually lost it, whether somebody else could pick it up or not. We pass in Yush Lamedas, Loy have a Yush, we pass in like a Baya. And the Rishonim ask a Kash over there, that l'chayru, this concept of Yush Shalai Midas, what does that mean? That means that a person today, if he would know today what he's going to know tomorrow, that he lost his wallet or whatever the case is, then he would have been miyayish today. Could we say that his idea tomorrow that he lost that thing, which will cause him to be miyayish tomorrow, mean that the retroactively he was miyayish already today? The Rishonim asks, this sounds like Yesh Brera and Ein Brera. Well, Yesh Brera and Ein Brera is Machlokes Tanoim, we pass an Ein Brera, the Raisa, the Rabbonon. Why should this not be told as Zebazah? And the Ravid says that a maven, somebody knows how to learn, in other words, will be able to be mechalik. What does he mean? What's the chilik? The yush that the owner of a chavitz is miyash tomorrow when he finds out about it is not something that we can look at in the context of retroactively. Something that he does tomorrow when he finds out that he doesn't have it anymore in his possession. That's when he's miyash. The trumas of miyash is the case that we have. Every case of breru that we find in the Torah, the pshat is that there's something that was done today. The process of today will be defined at a different level tomorrow. But actually, the process takes place today. That's where there's a shayla of yesh breru nein breru. But where the process takes place tomorrow, when he finds out that his chevetz is lost, over there, of course, there's no breru, and yesh lamidas does not work retroactively if you hold yesh lamidas le'av yesh. That's one example. There's another example. Chassam Sofer in the Tshuva in Yerideya talks about the halacha is, and this is negeif, if there's somebody, if a couple adopts a non-Jewish child, which is not unheard of, and they want to bring up the child as Jew. The child is given to them with legal custody, and they want to bring up the child Jewishly. This is halacha sugin ksuvus dafiral ger koton madbilinoisoy. They could take him to a mikveh, and the bezni could be megayer, but that geirus is toluy in when he becomes of age, bar mitzvah, whether he or she, the adopted child, will be maskim to be mekabel on themselves oil teru mitzvahs. And over there is discussed also the Chassam Sofer. Discusses, is that a retroactive process of breir? And the answer is over there also not. The geirus was only derabbanan. Later on, when he or she is maskim to be mizgayer, midaraisa, that's when the geirus is called deraisa. It's not that it becomes mizbarad mafreya. The process is something that takes place later. It's not a retroactive process of something telling us that, oh, yesterday there was a geirus. So on and so forth, there are other examples to give. Balchoyv lamafreya who gave is a similar concept, where if somebody collects a debt, do we say that which he collected, that let's say if somebody owes somebody a large amount of money, $250,000, he doesn't have cash to pay, and he ends up paying by liquidating the Bezdin gives his creditor a lien on the house, and eventually they give him the house. There's a question in the Sugya of Pesachim Daf Lamed Aleph, whether the house becomes l'mafreya, the creditor's, from the time of the choyv or not. And over there also, we don't say that that's talin yesh ber nein ber, because the process of collecting the debt is something that happens later. It's not something that happens then, retroactively, at the time of the time of the halva, that's when the debt collection was. No, the choyv was a choyv. Later on, there's a collection of, there's a gvias choyv. At the time of the gvias choyv, that's when the choyv is collected. And whatever halachic nafkaminis there would be, the Gemara talks in terms of chometz, if it retroactively becomes chometz its own bayid, becomes over also because of chometz shavu al avada, and so on and so forth. It could be nafkaminis of ribbis. We've discussed in other shiurim ribbis or other halachic issues that are a result of whether the Jewish ownership was chal a month ago b'shas tachoyv, or 10 years ago, 20 years ago b'shas tachoyv. Well, they were only chal now. We passed in b'chayv. Anyone my prayer is going. And when he takes the property, that's when it becomes his. Before that, it had no status of his. We don't say breiro, that it becomes mizbarad al-lemafreya. This was the peroin choyv then. Because the peroin choyv is a process that takes place now. There are other examples, me'inyin le'inyin, of where yesh breiro and ein breiro exist, and where there are halachic ramifications that work retroactively or don't work retroactively, but they have nothing to do with yesh and ein breiro.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halachic services or consultations, or to present a shaila, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. Or email info@thehalachacenter.org.